And Lord, help them to humble themselves and open up their heart to You and receive You. And Father, we thank You for this and we praise You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, that's quite a lengthy reading, but it's good because that's the most important thing you'll hear this morning. So, but I want us to think first of all about this king, Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. He was a great king. He was perhaps the greatest king that ruled upon the earth, certainly at this time. But, you know, you could make the case that he was the greatest, the strongest king over any world kingdom. You know, Solomon was a great king in his time, but he didn't have near the area that he controlled and the type of empire that Babylon had. And so Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. You remember in the first dream he had, he was the head of gold. He was the one that was, you know, the best, the purest, the strongest, the brightest, everything about. And Nebuchadnezzar is known for the hanging gardens of Babylon. He is known for all the things that he built in Babylon. And secular history records a lot of these things and helps us to know a little bit about that time period. Well, we start off this fourth chapter with Nebuchadnezzar issuing a proclamation. And here's his proclamation. He brings, and this is speaking, you know, from after the fact of this chapter, but he's speaking to the fact of how great God is. He's giving God glory here. And it's an interesting thing because we don't know, but you know, it could be that Nebuchadnezzar, through the story, through the experience that he had here, it could be that he was saved. It could be that one day in heaven, you and I might sit down with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the Bible says that the kings of the earth will bring their glory into heaven. Of course, it won't be anything like the glory of heaven. But what an interesting thought, because here's this pagan king, a worshiper of false gods, but God has been working on him. And God's working on him in this chapter, and it's pretty amazing. And you got to kind of hear his heart here. In this greeting, this proclamation, verse 2, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs. And you know, in a sense, he's becoming a missionary of sorts. I mean, he's beginning to tell other people about the greatness of God. Isn't that what somebody who knows the Lord does? Well, it's supposed to be. I mean, when you meet the greatest person ever, that you've ever met, that you've ever known, aren't you going to go to work and say, you'll never guess who I met the other day? Who was it? Was it the governor? Was it Brandon Allen? Who was it? It was Jesus. Oh, let me tell you, everything I've ever heard about Him is true, and more. I mean, when you meet Jesus, you're going to want to tell others about Him. And I see that as an evidence here, an indication that Nebuchadnezzar had had a change of heart. He had something to happen to him. Now, he had humbled himself to some extent before, when God had dealt with him. But I think there's something that happens here God jerked this man through a knot hole. You ever been pulled through a knot hole? Some of you have, but some of you haven't. Well, God can pull you through a knot hole if that's what it takes, if that's what's needed. Now, me personally, I'd much rather read Nebuchadnezzar's story and learn from it and not have to experience something like he went through. Well, and he declares the greatness of God, the wonder of who God is. That's awesome. That's amazing. And that's what we're to be doing. Y'all, look. We're to be sharing the good news of Christ with our world.
Well, preacher, I don't know. They might laugh at me. Well, preacher, they may ask me some question that I can't answer. What? Is that really stuff we're thinking? Are we really concerned about that? Or are we concerned about the glory and the wonder and the greatness and the majesty and the power and the truth of who God is? Because if that's what you're eaten up with, if that's what you're consumed with, then none of this other stuff matters. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter if people reject me and turn away from me. I've been rejected. I've been rejected for myself, but I've been rejected for Christ. And when I'm rejected for Christ, then I'm just like, man, I'm just doing what I can do. I can't change people's hearts. I can't draw them to Christ. I can't save them. I can't fix what's there. But I know the one who can. And I want to encourage you, because we might look at our life and, well, I don't really have much of a testimony. I was saved when I was 9 years old, and I didn't get off into the, you know. I had a friend who stood up and gave his testimony. He was about 8 or 9 years old, you know. They asked him to stand up and give his testimony in church, lead a testimony service, and he did. He's a preacher today. So be careful if anybody ever asks you. I mean, you never know what may happen to that kid. But he stood up there and said, well, I'm just glad I'm saved. And he said, because only the Lord knows where I'd be tonight if I wasn't. And there's not too many places an 8 or 9 year old can be. You know, I mean, just there's not too many choices there for most 8 or 9 year olds. But look, you know, your testimony is unique and it's powerful and it has a meaning and it has truth and it has significance. And I promise you, you're going to run across people who would love to know that God is able to meet us where we are. And He's able to change us. He's able to deal with us. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he just begins giving praise to God. And so let's look at his dream now. Let's think about his dream, because this is interesting. Notice it says here in verse 4, he says, I was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. He says, I was at ease. Everything was going good. Everything was great. Maybe that's where you are today. You're at ease. You're just enjoying life. Everything's good, Billy. Everything, yeah. I mean, you just, you know, just prospering. Well, that's good. But for Nebuchadnezzar, God was about to really wake him up. Well, he had this dream. Now, this is the second dream that he's had in the book of Daniel. Both of these dreams troubled him. Both of these dreams he couldn't just forget. Both of these dreams, you know, he couldn't just go on and leave it alone. They kept coming back to him and troubling him and just troubling his heart, troubling his mind. Well, it's because it's from the Lord. He called in the wise men, they couldn't help him. He asked for their help, they couldn't do anything. Finally he called Daniel in. Now, Daniel had been given a very significant position in the government. And so we don't know exactly, but he wasn't a part of the wise men, the you know, magicians and astrologers and all that. He wasn't a part of that. So he had him come in later, and he said, because he has the spirit of the holy gods. I think even at this point, he recognized there was something unique about Daniel. Just say to you, if you have the Spirit of God within you, that is, if you're saved, there's something unique about you. Now, he called in Daniel. He said, this is Belteshazzar, which is named after one of Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And they had, Bel was one of their gods in Babylon. Marduk was one of their gods. And Belteshazzar means Bel protect him. So they had tried to rename Daniel when they brought him in and tried to you know, reprogram him as a Jew. But Daniel retained his identity.
in Christ. Okay, he retained his identity in the Lord. He did not let any of that sway him. And folks, that's what we're called to do. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're called to stand strong upon the Word of God and not allow the world to push and conform us and shape us into its image. Because we've been created in the image of God. Now we're being recreated in the image of Christ. We're being conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. And it cannot be that Christians become so like the world that we cannot tell them apart from lost people. We've got to maintain our identity in Christ is absolutely essential. And so you're going to have to be grounded in the Word. Look, you're going to have to be grounded in the Word. You're going to have to be strong in the Word of God, young person. Because I promise you, the devil's going to throw everything he's got at you. And he is very effective. Well, so he begins telling Daniel the dream, this beautiful large tree. It was just enormous tree. And it was visible all over the earth. And it was just so, it was beautiful. The leaves were beautiful. The fruit was just everywhere. All the birds of the air were coming. They were making homes in that tree. And the beasts were gathering underneath its shade. And it was just this, you know, everyone was being provided for through this tree. It was an amazing thing. But then he says, something happened. And what happened was that an angel came down. An angel came down. And boy, this gets interesting. Because when the angel, it says, verse 13, it says, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree. Cut it down. Cut it down. Can you imagine? I mean, I've, you know, cut wood. Been around cutting wood a lot. But can you imagine the mighty crash, the roar of this tree hitting the ground, the branches breaking? Can you imagine the brush pile? Somebody had to gather up. Well, some of you can relate to that. Well, hew the tree down. Cut it down. And folks, he's at ease in his palace. He's got everything. He's got every remote control in front of him. He's got 13,000 channels on his super satellite TV. I mean, he's got it all. He's got everything. And God says, take it all away. Cut him down. Hew him down. Have him down. You see, God is not content just to come into your life and just rearrange a little room here and there. God is not content just to come into your life and just to do a little reorganization here and a remodel in this room and just a little fixing up over there. God says, I want the whole thing. I want it all. I want all your life. Daniel heard all of this. Heard the explanation of the dream that after this the stump was left there, and then it speaks of him being out in the open and becoming like a beast and eating grass and being in the dew of the nighttime, indicating he's outside. He's become an animal, and well. Daniel heard this dream. And verse 19 says that he was astonished for 1 hour. And it's interesting to me his response here. The king tells him all of this stuff, and Daniel's troubled. Because number one, Daniel knows right off the bat, this dream is about Nebuchadnezzar. And we don't, you know, it doesn't give us a lot of information. It doesn't really give us a lot of the backstory here. But I kind of read into this, and I believe that Daniel actually cared about this man. You know, I think he really did. I think he cared about this guy. Yeah, he was a pagan king and all of this. But Daniel, you know, he might be by now, he might have been in the kingdom of Babylon for some, maybe 30 years, 20, 25, 30 years. He's grown to maturity in this place, and he's learned a lot about Nebuchadnezzar, and I think he genuinely cared for this man, even though the man wasn't perfect. And there's another great application for us. The people that God puts around us, maybe not perfect. They're not perfect. They've got a lot of flaws, failures, struggles. We love them anyway. You're to love your pastor anyway. You're to love your brother-in-law. We're to love these people. And Daniel, I think, he was concerned. You know, we see that in his response here. He just takes this time and he's troubled. And Nebuchadnezzar kind of tells him, says, well, Daniel, don't, or Belteshazzar, don't be troubled by this. And Daniel answers him, says, my Lord, the dream is for those who are your enemies. This is not good. And he said, the tree that you saw that grew up to heaven and just grew out of sight and everyone was blessed by it and through it, it is you. You are that great tree that are grown and become strong, and your glory just fills the earth. Everyone knows about the mighty King Nebuchadnezzar. Everyone knows about you. Your dominion reaches across the entire known world. In verse 23. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it. Well, he says, this is the interpretation, verse 24. Verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be the beast of the field. Living out there in the grass, dew's going to be falling on you. It says, until seven times pass over. And basically, most people believe, because of Daniel 7:25 uses the same term that means years. So most people believe it was a seven-year period. 7 years that God turned Nebuchadnezzar out of pasture. God said, look, I've had enough of you exalting yourself. But here's the neat part about that. Contrast that with the story of Herod. You remember the story of Herod? Acts chapter 12. Herod was all full of himself. Herod was you know, and he began to speak one day to a group of people, and they began to, you know, exalt Herod. Oh, it's the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. It's not a man. It's the voice of a God. And Herod, mercy on this man. Thank God for his mercy, because some of us have received of his mercy and his grace. And we didn't deserve it either. Well, so Daniel said, he tells him, so this is what's going to happen to you. And your kingdom is going to return to you. You're going to be the king again, but Daniel kind of, he steps up to the plate here. Because he's talking to the king. I don't mean just, you know, any king. He's talking to the man that holds his life in his hands. And he says, therefore, from the rest of the king, be acceptable. Great God, God sees. What are you saying? Let me give your life back. forgive you. You need to break off your sin. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to turn to God. We call that repentance. Folks, to be a Christian is to be a repentant. It doesn't mean that you repented one time and now you're done with that and you move on. It means that you repent daily. You repent hourly. You repent as needed because the Spirit of God is working on your heart. He's touching you. He's showing you, convicting you. And every time you do, you're able to just turn back to God. So, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, he got the dream interpreted and he got some good advice. Did he take it? No. Some of you had some good advice. Did you take it? Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way. God turned it out to that. But took 12, he allowed 12 months. God gave him a whole year to think about this. God gave him a year to humble himself. But the Bible says God's Spirit will not always strive with man. There come a day when God will say, all right, that's it. No. No more. We're moving on. Folks, when God speaks to your heart, you need to realize God will not always strive with you. If God's dealing with you about some sin, Christian, lost person, if God's dealing with you about being saved, please understand God's Spirit will not always strive with you. There will come a day when you say no and God will say, fine, have it your way. I'm going to tell you, from that point forward, you're done. You're through. You're history. Because there is nothing at that point that you can do to bring back his conviction and that awareness of your need. Now, you won't regret it. You won't lament it. You won't be sorry about it, really. You send away your day of grace, and it's past, and it's complete, and it's over. God put Nebuchadnezzar out in the field. Even though God's mercy sometimes can be rather severe, it can be kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? It's, we might call it knothole mercy. Okay? That helps you. But thank God for mercy. Thank God that he's willing to do this. And he allowed this man a year, and then he gave him 7 years. Turned him out there, and he lived like an animal. And the Bible says his hair grew out like eagle's feathers. All you hairdressers out here, y'all sitting there shaking your heads. Oh my goodness. And his fingernails, his toenails grew out like birds' claws, talons. It's not a real pretty picture. And they drove him from the presence of men and they separated themselves from him. He was out of his mind. He had lost it. For 7 years this continued until verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a very thorough change of heart. And I want to say to you, wherever you are today, if there's a half an inch of pride in your life, you're on dangerous ground. Christian, it's true for us as Christians. I want to invite you this morning to humble yourself. Don't make God put you out to pasture. Don't make God put you through something that you don't want to go through. Humble yourself now. Open up your heart to Him now. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you. Open up your heart to Jesus today. Don't wait. Don't think, well, I've got plenty of time. You don't need any of this stuff. Today might be the last time God ever speaks to you. If He's speaking to you, I invite you to answer His call. Respond to Him. Receive Him. Let's bow our heads. In this moment, we want to just ask His strength, His power, His strength. Here today, you may receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can pray right where you are. You can pray. You can break off your sins. You can turn to God. You can trust Him. Simple prayer. Say, oh God, I need you. Lord, my life is a mess. Fix it. I'm sorry for all the things I've done. Just tell me. Lord, I open up my heart to you today. I give you my life. Jesus, come into my life and change me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Tell me. Set me free. I believe you died on that cross for me. You paid for my sins. I believe you rose from that grave. And today, by faith, Lord, I receive you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for saving me. Pray that prayer with me. I want to invite you to publicly declare your faith in Christ. Let others know. Maybe, Christian, you're here and you've allowed five cripple you, to blind you to the truth of God, to keep you from receiving His blessings, to keep you from serving the Lord with gladness. Instead, you're serving with this false sense of blessing God. I invite you, Christian, to touch you. I invite you to humble yourself. Pray. Seek His face and turn from your wicked ways. He's promised you He'll heal. He's promised you He'll forgive. This altar is here, Christian. If you need to come and pray, if God impresses on your heart, you come. If God impresses you to make an altar where you are, you do it. Whatever God says to you in this moment. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us freedom and liberty here today. God, to respond to the voice of your Spirit. Father, I pray you'd rebuke the devil, bind Satan from being able to deceive or to distract or in any way to hinder the work of your Spirit. And I pray, God, you'd allow us to come into your presence right now. Give grace to those who speak to us. And ask that we remain in an attitude of prayer. Sheila, just pray softly for a moment. Gives us a time to respond to what God is saying to your life. If God's dealing with you, I would invite you to get on the altar. If God saved you a moment ago, I would invite you to come and just say, Pastor, I prayed with you. I'm so thankful. I'd love to share with you that. Pray with you about that.